Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Israel in the Old Testament had three main transitions as a people. The first and greatest, of course, you know already, was how they were delivered by God from slavery in Egypt. The second was their time of wandering with God, 40 years in that wilderness of Sinai. Last of all was how God gave victory and settlement to his people in the Promised Land. Now, it was not their helplessness against mighty Pharaoh, or fear over those dwelling in the land of Canaan, no matter how big they were. No, the best and biggest problem they had to deal with was having to wander in the wilderness that showed the better grace of God that would be at work for them. And so Lent reminds us that we as the church are in the time of transition, like Israel in the wilderness. Christ has delivered us from the hands of Satan, who holds all captive as sinners. He's already done this for us through baptism. He's pulled you through that Red Sea with his good word through that water. St. Paul says in our epistle reading, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God has made us saints in Christ, but we are not yet in the promised land of heaven. We are still very much sinners wandering in the wilderness of this world, needing the better grace of God to be at work for us. As the bronze serpent, so now all bitten by sin and death have the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to look to for their salvation. And so Israel saw no good with being a people in the wilderness. A one-way trip to the promised land was not in the plans for God's people. They had to face another detour with having to go around the land of Eden. This has been about 40 years now, close to 40 years, of course, to the end of one generation dying, another one coming forth, and they yet have had any time to really settle down or do anything permanent in their lives. Their impatience of having just to go around one more spot like Edom, their impatience, again, God already had provided. The people wanted more. And so they accused God and Moses of being murderers, which meant, pretty much, you don't have our best interest in mind. Which meant, finally, we were better off in Egypt. Even the miracle of manna, that miracle of which would be kind of neat to see, you know, the manna, the bread from heaven appear every day. They called that food worthless. That's how consumed by impatience they were. Detours remind us a lot about things. If you're like me, you're already late. We already had a time change, and I'm running behind this morning. And then you run into a detour. When you think you're going to get going and get to where you need to, you hit that detour, and now you're really late. Now, the big thing is that detours remind us that we're wandering with God in this sinful world. However things may be planned out, there's always detours that pop up, right? There is no straight course, no convenient way out of the wilderness that's going to be on our terms. Instead of identifying how God shelters us at the present, which he has, he does today, you heard it today, your mercies are new every morning. That's the sheltering theme. But what do? We become restless. We become agitated. We want what we want. Ignoring his grace already at work only leaves us to picture God as a murderer, and we do. Oh, we do. Oh, no, not us Christians. We never would think God to be against us, but we do. When things don't go our way, when we don't see things so clearly, we wonder why God is allowing this to happen, and we end up accusing God like Adam did. You gave me this wife. I didn't sin. And so we end up calling God the one who does not have us in mind, only himself. And then our demands end up despising God's holy word and sacrament. And of course, that's the bread of heaven in our time. This food that seems so worthless, these mere elements of bread and wine, the word, the water, these things seem so small compared to so much today that we see. God, in turn, though, we know what happened, removed the miracle of life that he had provided. You could say the people of Israel were left to fend for themselves, to kind of get a better picture of what things really are like without the Lord. And they did not do very well when the fiery serpents came. There was only death and judgment, and it was slithering everywhere through the assemblies. This wasn't a pet. This was pure hardness of life that was out in the wilderness. The poison coursing through their veins was out of control, and a cure was not at hand. No more demands on the table. You saw what happened. They turned in repentance, and with the petition for God to take away the snakes. Lent reminds us how without God in the wilderness of this world, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We really don't know what we're doing. When he removes the hand of grace, you're going to see how tough life really is for each and every one of us. And it's going to be very scary. Jesus said, those who do not believe in the only Son of God are condemned already. Because that's all you really have. But that's all you really need, right? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief is what we're talking about today. The bite from Satan with our first parents, we can feel flow through our veins by our sin. Oh, it's original sin. That's how we're all connected. But we have actual sins, sins that are different for each and every one of us. And this is why we have to do self-examination and why we have to take seriously our doubts, our fears, our failures, and we feel those course through our veins because of the law's judgment. But more than wrongs in life and how people might look at us, because certainly sin brings shame and all the other kind of stuff that goes with that, consequences and all that stuff, the greater truth that hurts is no works of ours will ever save, will ever give peace. Moses learned this. He learned this because before this whole little thing happened with the snakes and the bronze serpent stuff, he was the guy who caved into the people and struck the rock. And you remember what happened to Moses, right? He would not go and lead God's people into the promised land. He gave them what they wanted and did not listen to what God said. And so he would not enter with them into that kind of victory that God promised. Only repentance looks with prayer for the better grace of God that would deliver us from evil. And yet the miracle of God's grace was the glory of life that he always wants to give, and it's lifted up for the people. Israel saw this promise in the image. God said Moses to put on a pole. It wasn't what the people wanted to see. It was set on God's terms. And so what they saw was not the glory for people who were in pain and suffering that were going to think it to be very impressive. Luther tells us, no doubt there were many Jews who laughed at Moses and made fun of his bronze snake. They wanted to be able to comprehend with their reason. And so they tried to accomplish their goal with all kinds of medicines. But they failed. God took what was judgment, you see, and proclaimed his kind of justice. A justice because the bronze serpent held no poison, but it wasn't a pretty picture, was it? It held no poison, but it gave the promise for any who looked upon that lived. In the wilderness, God proves his people as he loves his people as he puts it before our face and that of all people. Rather than God taking away the snakes, he answers prayer with those words that are very hard for us to pray if you've ever been in a tough situation, a true one, and not many have, but all will be. But you know the words in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done, not my will be done." And God's will is to break all plans of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, so that in the end, we must look to Jesus. What does this mean? The truth of Jesus lifted up gloriously as God sacrificed, judged in our place, saves sinners. Justifies them purely on a promise. Nothing else. That's all we ever are riding on in this life. I know you pay bills. I know you got lots of things to think about in terms of this world, but there's one thing that God puts before us to say, nope, this will be it and all that it will be. That's the point of Lent. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's to face how judgment is real. And we don't like that in our country. We want to make new laws to counter the judgments of things. We want to reinterpret words to make judgment doesn't sound so bad. And judgment is real. It's real because when you face death, there's no way out. When I face my sin, I'm a sinner. What else can I say? But also recognize how graciously God has stopped sin, death, and the devil in the tracks for us. What's lifted up is Jesus, the crucified one, the one who was crushed for our offenses, who carried the weight of our sin, the sinless one, who through his veins pours out the perfect love of God. What kind of guilt over sin? What kind of fear of death? What questions about the future? Or even hell itself can do against any who look in true faith to the crucified Jesus? The law lifts up the gospel. Moses was the lawgiver, but he lifted up something better that God gave for them to look to. Promise set in God's word. And Christ is lifted up in the sacrament as promised by his word. Don't ever forget, before Good Friday was Monday, Thursday. And on Monday, Thursday, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and that was lifted up even when he was being crucified and suffering, so that the people would look and all would know God, love of God would bring victory and peace and rest purely by faith in Jesus. How do we find protection in the wilderness of a sinful world that's very, very evil? How will the church remain steadfast in these chaotic times that literally, in many ways, are out of our hands? How does God turn dead people into living saints, even able to serve their neighbor with love in a wilderness where no one's really all that content? But God changes hearts to serve. As the bronze serpent, so now all bitten by sin and death have the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Look to him, for he is your salvation, as he is for me. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting in his holy name. Amen.